Nothingness by myself. I'm just sitting in silence, and there's no way I can make it without your help. No, I won't even try it. I know you have your reasons for everything, so I will keep believing in whatever I might be feeling. God, you are my hope, and you'll be my strength. No matter what, I'm gonna love you. No matter what, I'm gonna need you. I know that you can find a way to keep me from the pain. But if not, I'll trust you.
You know, you were sharing with us that part of what we have going here is stress, pressure that the pastors experience. What are some of the specific causes of those stresses? I know we talked about people pulling. Mm-hmm. What is going on with the pulling?
Well, in our opinion, as Jeff and I have talked about it, we recognize that pastors are very proficient at taking care of other people. That's what they're good at. And they do that extremely well. We've learned, however, in our own experience and in conversations with our colleagues throughout this area and around the country, that we don't do as good a job taking care of ourselves. And so when signs, when signals go off that something's not right, be it physically, emotionally, we don't address it. We spend most of our time addressing the problems of others.
And you're addressing the problems of others. Let me ask you this. One of the responsibilities of pastors, and I know that you two, as you mentioned, from Augusta University, something that people may not, what I'm getting ready to ask about, people may not think has any relation whatsoever to a chaplain serving in a hospital. But I'm going to ask you about funerals. Mm. A pastor has a member die. And it's time to perform funeral services, even deliver a sermon at the church during the funeral.
Right.
Then it's time to go gravesite. Is there any reason to expect that at some point down the road, the loss of the people, not just the funeral process, but the loss of the people has an impact on the pastor? Or is that something that a pastor, since he's a religious leader, is immune to?
Man, Carl, that's it's a great observation you've made. Some of the best advice I received a few years ago was from a good friend of mine named Tim Owings, and he pastored for a long time. And Tim said to me, when you're in a congregation for a certain period of time, you stop burying congregants and you start burying friends.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that you have relationships with. So you stand there, and the family is looking for you to bring comfort to them, and other church members are, and you're going to be part of standing in front of the group and trying to bring in a community to celebrate a life, grieve a loss. And your own grief is powerful. Now, what I do with that, Carl, is I don't hide it. Mm. And when I'm in that moment, I let people know, man, this is a loss for me. And I changed from using funeral services to do theology. I try to do it as a reflection. I talk about the person and the family and me, my connection with them and what I'm feeling. And I ask people, are you feeling this? And if you're feeling this as a community, how are we going to get through this? So I think trying to understand what you've said is true. We feel the loss as well. Brennan and a good friend of ours, Grace, a colleague of ours, Grace, worked very hard with a family that had lost a 10-year-old child. There's nothing normal about losing your 10-year-old child. Right. You feel that loss. You feel it when you see other 10-year-olds. You remember when your children were 10, and you reflect back to that, and you take that with you. So we have developed a collegiality, a love for one another. We take care of each other in that. And when I know that they have been in that situation, my goal now is to care for them.
And how do you do that?
I would, knowing that what they have been through, I ask them to sit down. How are you doing? Talk to me about what you're feeling. I take a load off them. You don't need any more calls. If the hospital calls again, if another floor calls, I've got you. Our friend and our other colleague, we've got you. Why don't you take some time and process what you're feeling? Why don't you go in, read some things that'll be meaningful for you? Write some things if that's a helpful way for you. But process it out. It's important that we do that. So we're trying to model healthy care for one another. I think that's why we are still doing this after 21 years.
Wow. Yeah.
That we care for each other.
And it's important not to bear emotion. A part of what Jeff is talking about is the healthy way of dealing with grief and loss for the faith leader, for the clergy person. Mm-hmm. If you have relationship and someone dies, that hurts. It doesn't matter what your job title, what your status is. You feel and experience that pain. And if I spend all of my time taking care of everybody else and not taking care of myself, ultimately that's going to manifest itself in me in a negative way. And so in order for that not to happen with us, we talk about it, we get it out in whatever meaningful way we need to get it out. Sometimes it's in words, sometimes it's in tears. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just screaming.
Right.
and you imagine us behind closed doors, just kind of letting it out because it's that passionate for us. And so we hope to encourage our colleagues in ministry, regardless of the form of ministry they're in, we encourage them to have an outlet where they can release some of the tension and pressures that come with ministry.
You know, in your cases, you all are working with families with whom you're not in touch with for 2 years, 3 years,
right.
8 years. But yet you can still be touched by their losses, their pains. How is that so in a case where you're not with them for these extended periods of time?
We refer to those as incredibly sacred moments that occur because of the events of a day. Someone comes into the hospital. We've not known them. The moment is life-changing. They're scared. They're frightened. They're living in some uncertainty. We meet them. We tell them who we are, and we provide them someone to walk through this journey with them. There's a bond that takes place immediately, especially if you develop the trust. And one of the most important aspects of doing ministry is that you have to trust me. You have to know that whatever you say or whatever you do, whatever you feel, however you might react, I'm okay with that. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to hold you. And I'm going to guide you. One of the first things I'll say to somebody when they're in crisis and they're trying to figure this out is just remember you're not alone. And if they're faith-based, I try to remind them you're not alone in a lot of ways. But we build those moments. We might not see them again, but they remember that in that pivotal moment, that sacred moment, somebody was with them. Brennan and I talk all the time about you'll walk through a store or Walmart or somewhere, and someone will come up and give you a hug out of the blue, and they'll thank you for being there with them, and you're grateful that they do that. Builds your soul up. But sometimes you may not remember it as well as they remember.
Right, and you know what I appreciate? In difficult times, there's something that no one wants. Nobody wants to be alone in difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And what we actually offer is a calm and non-anxious presence in the most troubling and disturbing times in some people's lives. So, Carl, you're right. We're with people when they've lost a loved one or when they've received a bad diagnosis or they've received some news that's not encouraging. And for them, we provide that non-anxious, consistent presence, and they recognize that they're not alone. And most people, I'd say ivory soap percentages, 99.9% of the people we deal with appreciate knowing someone is there. And it's in those moments that Jeff just described as sacred moments that you build almost immediately a rapport that allows them to feel safe to open up to you. And I don't know how it works. I just know it does work when you have a heart for people.
Sure.
Mm. One of our ladies and gentlemen, what they're sharing with us, and I'm sure you hear this coming, ringing through loudly and clearly. People are in need. They're in a state of crisis. And one of the things that our pastors at the hospitals provide is a powerful presence of peace. We'll be right back.
I've gotta see this is taking me by surprise, but nothing surprises you before a heartache can ever touch my